Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Squirrel Chase by Carol Britton Chambers. Cheers to starting the conversation.
What an adorable piece this
Love it.
Is.
Yes.
I know, this is so fun. This is great for, I think you can use this. This is great spring
anytime.
Concert, region band, fall concert. I mean,
it's
anytime.
So fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids are going to love it. It is a gallop, so it's very fast and kind of march style. It is in the key of concert B flat, 2 minutes long. So this flies by. It does have split clarinet parts. You can use the oboe part as a second flute part if you have a big enough section. It has split trumpet parts as well, but no split alto parts. And the trombone euphonium part, it is split trombone euphonium, and they do not double each other the whole time. Percussion, there is a lot of active percussion in this, but a lot of it is effects. So sound effects to make the squirrel chase sound. You really need probably 6 percussionists to make this work. You could get creative if you had less than that, but I think 6 is safe. If you have more than that, there's enough to go around if you want to spread it out.
And the mallet part is really like important for just the color, like the xylophone color.
Yes.
Since it's a gallop is pretty important. So
and it's
definitely
soloed in
that.
Here as well.
Yep. So the whole piece starts off with just a woodblock solo. You want to make sure all your other kids in the band start with their mouthpiece off their face so that way they don't accidentally play
yes.
on the first measure. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it reminds me of like a little squirrel running. And then the band comes in and measure 3 with the snare drum. And then the winds come in on measure three. The band comes in on beat 2 of measure 3. So snare, 2, 1, 2, 1. And then everybody's in at measure 5.
As with all gallops, I think style is really, really important in this one. And what stands out to me the most on this piece in particular is the dotted 8/16 rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
The dotted 8/16 rhythm is very crisp and very clear in this all the way throughout. Da, da, da. Lots of space and lots of strength of articulation on the 16th note. Don't let that 16th note get lost. It repeats a ton of times in this.
And I would mark in my students' parts like a slash between
yep.
the dotted 8th note and the 16th so that they practice doing those as different air streams. Not... So just making sure, again, like Laura said, that you go over that style with them. You can play that on a concert F. You can pass it around the room.
There are so many
ways to practice making sure that it's stylized.
I would have my percussion play. I would have a xylophone and a snare drummer model it. Da, da, da. And then the winds echo it.
Mm-hmm.
If they try to match that clarity in the snare and the xylophone, then they'll have the idea of what that's supposed to sound like.
Yep. So the melody is in flute, clarinet 1, alto 1, or only alto, and trumpet 1. So they have this melodic line that we've been talking about, lots of different articulations, ta, 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 long, long, long. So lot tenutos, accents, staccatos, all within 4 measures of the melody.
That's right.
So making sure again that all the style matches up is important. The accompaniment part is just dee 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 dee. So making sure that they're underneath is important.
And then you have some motor, like, and I do think that accompaniment line is classified as motor as well, but then
right.
you have like the downbeat motor part.
One, two.
Yeah,
one,
with the
two.
Tubas,
bass
very
yep.
bass. Yeah, that bass yep. line as well.
This continues on until 13. You got some cool little like hi-hat hits in there as like percussion effects. That again, you can come up with whatever story you want when you're playing this piece, right? There's a squirrel running around and people are trying to catch him, you know, or there's like another animal chasing him, and you can come up with whatever you want, but that's kind of what I think the percussion effects sometimes are.
I envision Christmas Vacation. That is literally what I envision when
uh-huh.
I hear this. I envision Christmas Vacation when the squirrel jumps out of the tree and the family is running around the house, you know, trying to avoid the squirrel, not get the squirrel, but like
is it a squirrel?
Uh-huh.
I think it's a raccoon.
No. Oh, is sweet it a love. Squirrel? Yes, it's a squirrel.
Okay.
It is.
Or is it a cat?
No, there is a cat. The cat gets fried. Yeah. With a, but no, there's a squirrel in the tree. Okay. Yeah.
It's the squirrel. Oh, you're right. Yeah. It's a squirrel.
Yeah.
Not a raccoon.
It's not. But that's, okay. that is what I'm, so like is Katie is always really good about creating a story.
Sure.
To go along with the piece. That is not my forte for sure, but I can take someone else's story. Thank you, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
And apply it to this. So whatever works
so
for you.
So fun. Yes. A lot of the times the pickup notes on this piece going into the melody are tenuto marked. So just make sure that the students are all doing the same thing. Like here going pick up into 13, long, two, 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 two. So the melody changes a little bit here at 13. And then those are housetop accents at 16 that the whole band has. Mm-hmm. One and two. And then we go back into 17 with long, 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 da, 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 da. And this percussion part has the dotted 8/16th now.
And repeatedly. That's continuing on. Yeah, yep. We have exactly.
Yeah,
and it happens repeatedly in that. So I love that because it's not happening in winds there, but you're getting to hear that model in the snare.
At 19, the lows get this little do-do-do-do-do, just like a little mini scale going downward that I think should be brought out and put a crescendo under to feature them a bit. And then a crash cymbal. So it's like, that's like the squirrel running around. Do, 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 do. Psh, like somebody tried to catch the squirrel, but he got away again, you know?
He tripped over the trash can or whatever the case may be, right?
Yes.
This range in this is not difficult, really, for any instrument. Range is not difficult. It is a matter of style, balance, matching note length, right? Yep. Like that's really what it's about. Even rhythmically, once you get the flare of the dotted 8/16th, rhythmically it's not difficult either, but you've got to be super picky about your style.
Yep. 21, the trumpets and the flute or trumpets take over the melody with saxophone on the dotted 8/16th rhythm. Upper woodwinds have kind of like a little counter melody. One, two, and one, two, and one, and two, and one, and two, and one. So you'll want the trumpet and sax to come out, but that's another little featured moment with upper woodwinds. And then the accompaniment part is continuing on.
With the motor.
The mids and the lows. Yep. And then 29 is a new moment. Right before 29, the triangle gets the hit. So again, it's like the squirrel's still running around and oops, we didn't catch the squirrel. Triangle. And then 29, one and two, one and two.
These are low voices here.
Yep.
With upper voices echoing. One and one, two.
One and two, one and two. One, and we're two, soft, one and two, and one. Up. Yep. And the flute.
You're welcome for that, by the way.
Yes. The flute, oboe, and clarinet get a cutesy little part at 35. One and two and one and two and one. So I think that's cute. It's like the little squirrel running away.
Yes.
With bells, of course, on that same part. And then 37, we get, it's like a new thought again. One and one and
that's trombones and euphoniums that are doing that. So they are playing the role of the horn.
Yes.
You know, at measure 37, you have the tuba berry bass clarinet that are holding that downbeat motor. And then your trombones and euphoniums are doing the upbeat. So they are not used to that in the same way that your horns may be used to that. Horns take it over four measures in. But again, just making sure that that pulse is really solid. Percussion is also playing those upbeats with the trombone and euphonium. Bass drum is with the downbeat people.
Yep.
So that can help security there.
At 41, there is a xylophone solo. Super fun. Again, that's really important. It is cued in flute and clarinet. So if you wanted to like beef up the melody more, you could. Or just let percussion have the fun part for once, you know. Then again, as Laura mentioned, the horns are kind of taking over the accompaniment part along with the other mids like saxophone and low reed. And then at 47... The low voices like trombone and euphonium are marked playing a part way above the staff here on high E flat and D, along with trumpet two, clarinet two, oboe and flute. So kind of a different color combo there. And they just have one and two and two. Two. And so bringing that part out, and there's a whip part underneath it. So it's like whip, whip, whip. And so this is just, again, like a struggle between the aggressor trying to catch the squirrel.
Which is what I envision. Like, you've caught the squirrel, and then
away.
Yep, little sucker gets away.
Yep. And then 49 is back to the melody in flute, clarinet, one. Accompaniment again in kind of the mid voices. There's no low brass here other than the bass line and no trumpet.
And this melody here, what they've done is basically taken the counter melody that the upper woodwinds were playing before. It's not the same dotted 8/16th melody we had. We've taken that counter melody that the flutes had before and now it's featured.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no trumpets. Trumpets are laying out, trombone, euphonium are laying out. We've got some of the people playing some motor behind it, but now we're featuring that part as the melody.
And then at 53, the trumpets come back in on the melody with oboe and clarinet two. One, two, a one, and one, two, a one, and. Sorry. Yeah, that was right. I counted it right. And then there's, again, some little features here. A suspended cymbal
Tambourine.
Yep. Yes. So there's lots of cool little percussion effects. 57, the melody goes back to flute, oboe, clarinet, and sax this time. It's what they were just playing. And then two measures later at 59, trumpet and tenor sax and clarinet two come in with this cool little counter melody.
We're building.
That's like descending. One, two, one, two, and then the lows join them. We're leading to 61, and it's like one, two, one, two, one, and then nothing. Then there's a slide whistle solo. Meow. Then the woodblock part comes back in, like the beginning of the song.
So this is literally, I think, where the squirrel gets away from you, right?
Yes.
And then starts running again.
Where it really is happening. So then at 65, we come in with now the low brass get the melody. Boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, boom, boom. And then there's vibra slap going on. So lots of cool moments. 69, we've got claves coming in. The melody goes back to the flute and the clarinet and the trumpet part. So it's kind of like the beginning again.
Yes, we're recapping what we had before.
Hi-hat comes in at 72, pretty cool. 77, the xylophone gets an important part again, but now again with the flute, oboe, and clarinet and trumpet joining them in. The whole band is playing. It's fun. It's like the ending, sort of. Then at 84, we have a moment again where it's like, we thought we caught the squirrel. One, two, and three, crash cymbal. And then 85, again, the melody is in trumpet only with sax again, but then there's another counter melody line with, flute, clarinet one. That's it. So they have one and two and one and two and one. So this could be like, I don't know, in your mind, this is another animal helping the squirrel escape or something, but it becomes a bit more like textured here.
I really like the low brass part in this section, the low brass, low reed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their part changes a little bit. So now you want to bring this out and feature this. This is something new. One, two, one, and one, two, one, and two, and one.
Yep.
Yeah, so something a little different to kind of wrap your ear around.
Kind of like in a march, the last time around, you want to pull out the low brass. It's kind of the same here. Then you get to the end, one, two, one, toy horn on beat two of 92, which...
like a bike horn.
Yeah, and you need to find a good
That's
one
not
where,
what it
like,
sounds like,
when you, when, you,
not, I'm sorry.
When you honk it, that it actually comes out of the mix. You might even want to have, like, two of them or mm-hmm. something so it's loud enough, because that's a hard sound to make, like, occur
Project.
Loud. Yeah. And then 93, we're back to the lows again, going one and two, one and two, one and one, two, just like we had before.
Stylistically, in both times, stylistically, this is written on the syncopated rhythm, one and it's written staccato, tenuto, staccato. In the percussion, it's written accented on the quarter note. Like you would normally play syncopation, I would have your wind players
do
that as
thing.
Well.
Yeah.
Da, di, da, da, without shortening that quarter note, right?
Yep.
But still give that emphasis.
And then we've got the same thing again at 97, one and two, one and two. Now the full band at 99 comes in mezzo piano, one and two and one and two and one. This is like the big moment. There's nothing. And then the whole band yells, squirrel. And you're supposed to turn around, like the kids are supposed to turn around and look at the percussion, because then there's a maracas solo, like the little squirrel tail is quivering, is what I see in my mind when I hear the maracas here. It's like the squirrel's like, I'm caught. And then at 105, everybody comes back in. One, a two, and one, and two, and one, a two, and one, and two, and everybody's in again. 109, mezzo piano, we're building it up. One and one and this same thing as what Laura said.
This would be a place that if you like to experiment with marches at all, this would be a place where, like, if you want to put in a cello rondo to the end.
Oh, yeah,
this would be where you would do it, right? Yeah, you would add it here.
Yep, in a gallop, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then we're crescendoing up to 113. The full band has one and two, and one and two, and like a little chromatic-y thing to finish it out. 117 ends with woodblock, doot, 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 the same little squirrel thing. And then the whole piece ends, 2-1. So, oh gosh, it's adorable.
It is really cute. Kids love it. Anything that is thematic like this, right? Kids love. And it will be a crowd pleaser too. Yeah. Your audience will love it.
I told Laura before we started this episode, my son just got to play it with an all-region band like a month ago. And he said this was his favorite piece that he got to work on with Mr. Bosch. So that's kind of fun. He loved getting to play it, saying squirrel. He gets into the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, and all the kids love it. It's a great piece. I would end a concert with it.
And well written, good teaching tool for dotted 8/16.
Everybody gets
for
to
style.
Do cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, just it's a win all the way around.
Yes. So we hope you will consider programming Squirrel Chase in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.